landing strip. It's the 330th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. If you're tuning in, yeah, I know it's a Easter Sunday in the middle of the freaking day, in the middle of the afternoon, so we don't normally do this.
Tell them what happened.
Well, see, what happened was I got sick.
Again.
And Arnold got sick.
Again.
And you didn't have your backup shit. And you weren't going to do the show by yourself.
Well, how much notice did you give me?
Well, I told you the day of.
Exactly.
So did Arnold. But, you know, like, it's fine. Here we are. I'm healthy. I'm not sick anymore.
And we had the time.
We had the time because, you know, it's
something happened over the week.
Yeah, the superstar shake up.
Mm-hmm.
So then, are you shook? Are you shooketh?
Kind of, sort of.
You're kind
of
shook?
Kind of, sort of. I'm a little disappointed at a couple of moves. Some other moves kind of were, I don't want to say obvious in a booking sense, but we'll get to it. This time, one of the few shows that we're actually going to talk about every single segment. Because damn near everything, at least on Raw, had to do with the shakeup. Right. First impressions when Miz came on Raw to attack Shane McMahon.
I like it. I like the move. Miz has done a lot on SmackDown and has really reinvented his character. He's over now, which he was never over before. Now taking you over to Raw, as much as we want to say that there's equality between the brands, there's not really equality between the brands. Raw is the legacy show. So if you make it on SmackDown, then you go over to Raw with a whole lot of momentum and heat, hell, you might be able to finally get over in that sense that The Miz never got over. Yeah, sure, The Miz had a WrestleMania main event like years and years ago, but a lot of people thought it was too premature. A lot of people didn't believe in him. Maybe now, maybe WrestleMania 36 with him being on Raw, maybe it's believable, him being main event status.
On the other side of that coin, for the last, three or four years at least,
yeah,
Miz has been one of the top heels, if not the top heel.
Okay.
On the blue brand.
Yeah.
You think it hurts the blue brand to lose the Miz at this point of his career, being the new face that he is now, as over as it is now?
No. I'm not worried about the blue brand. They're going to get theirs. Especially, I mean, you asked me my initial reaction. This is the first shook of the entire shakeup. So I'm thinking, all right, Miz came over. I'm not worried about the void that he's leaving because we had a whole episode of Raw still ahead of us and a whole episode of SmackDown to know who's going to go over there. By the end of the shakeup, I still feel this way. Now, we'll get to all that. So I'm not worried.
Man.
Porsche is watching us.
Oh, well, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Porsche. She said that she's running around getting ham and chicken for her grandma.
Normally, as we do in HWR fashion, we bust our nuts early. Look at the camera and defend the Viking experience.
It ain't that bad of a name. It's a bad name. But I'll tell you what I do like. I like Eric and Ivor. I really like that. That's a lot more Viking-y than Ray and Hansen.
Rowan Hansen.
Right, Rowan Hansen, sorry. Not saying I don't like them. I fucking love them. I fucking love Raymond Rowe, you know?
Raymond Rowe. Raymond Rowe is not them. You like one of them.
I know. No. But see, I like the other one too, by proxy. So I like that name change. The experience part, I'm like, that's kind of dumb. Now, we did just get off of the previous week with WrestleMania and, you know, a Hall of Fame. And Booker T and Stevie Ray are up there talking about how they were first the Ebony Experience. Like, all right, I guess that could kind of work way back then. They were, you know, the Ebony Experience. Like, whatever. Viking Experience in this day and age, it doesn't really seem to work. But I marked the fuck out when I heard their music. I was happy to see them. I was happy to see that they were happy to be seen. And I'm not...
Regardless that they were teaming with the heels?
Regardless. They were on my telly. And I was like, holy shit. When I first heard the Viking Experience, I thought that was going to be like a like a sub name,
like the cat, like the catchphrase.
Yeah, like the catchphrase name. Oh, the big dog, Roman Reigns. Like the Viking experience, the War Raiders. You know, they're going to bring the Viking experience or something like that. Like that would have made a little bit more sense. But am I totally penny twisted up over this name? No, because there's always going to be dumbass fucking names, especially now. And they can change it. They could do something with it. They could underplay some stuff, or they could grow into it. Like, The New Day was a stupid fucking name. The New Day. What's a New Day? Like, that's dumb. But they worked with it. They did something with
it. In the New Day's defense, those are three guys that weren't established as a unit.
True.
You already had them in Ring of Honor in the Indies as War Machine. You bring them into NXT as the War Raiders, which took a while to accept, but that's kind of expected when you come into the, when you're like under the WWE umbrella.
Yeah, they want something.
Even if you're at the edge, you're still covered. So when you've already got merch like War Raiders, not to jump ahead, but when 2 days later on NXT television, when the Street Profits are doing a backstage segment that they want a number one, they want a tag team title match, and the War Raiders come out in War Raider merchandise.
Yeah.
Accepting said challenge. You know, when you're going into the network to find this badass team that just had a fucking slobber knocker 2 nights before or a week before a takeover, type in Viking experience on the network. What are you going to find?
Nothing.
Bupkis, the square root of Jack. I think that should have been done. That should have been handled and stamped on the by the very beginning. This is the first time out of all the NXT drafts that somebody that already had a new name in NXT was brought up with a completely new name.
With a newer name.
Like Kenta came in as Hideo Itami. And then if Hideo Itami were to show up on Raw as like Szechuan Miracle, like what the fuck? That doesn't make any fucking sense. Like you've already, like it's just.
I agree that it shows a little bit of disrespect to the equity that's built up in NXT.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're making such an effort from the moment that they had the draft and Mick Foley and Stephanie said that we're looking towards the future, our next picks from NXT, Finn Balor. Like you're setting the bar pretty high that NXT is kind of a big fucking deal for these new for Raw and SmackDown. And to just bring up another a team and just rename them again while they have the tag team championships, while they're recognized in this sister promotion as War Raiders.
Yeah. And I don't understand the reason for the name change. Like
you call Ember Moon the war goddess.
War Machine to War Raiders? Makes sense because War Machine, there is the guy that beat up the porn star, there's Marvel, so you can't really, you know, copyright that. Okay, War Raiders, all right, fine. You had Legion of Doom, Road Warriors, I get it. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But from NXT to the main roster, I don't know why. I'm not upset so much at the name itself. I'm more questioning why even do it. Like, was it necessary? Why was it even necessary?
To me, it's adding another point on this, checking another box on my current opinion of the main roster, that the main roster is really not geared at all, not completely, if any, towards people our age.
Okay.
You want kids to be like, oh my god, I had the Viking experience. Oh my god, I was with the big dog Raz. That's not we don't need catchphrases all the time. We don't need gimmicks all the time. Not all the time.
Adam Cole.
Not all the time.
Baby.
Not all the time. From bell to bell, if you keep my attention, you'll earn my respect. Okay. Most of New Japan. You don't know a lot of those guys. You just know that once the bell rings, they beat the fuck out of each other. Once that second bell rings, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
So that's the analogy I'm bringing forward.
Okay.
So it just – Viking experience.
Robert Draft, what's up,
what
man?
What the fuck? All right.
Yeah. On a Sunday.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on the – debut.
Hold on. Let me get my thumb out. Hold on.
She said, "What? Ah, right up there.
Yes. Up. Thumb up.
Who do you want to see him feud with first?
Ooh, that's a good question. On Raw, right? Mm-hmm. Damn, who's on Raw now? Like, I don't know. I'm shook. Man, I don't even know.
A couple of options.
Yeah.
Andrade defeated Finn.
Oh, yeah, because Andrade's on Raw.
Andrade just moved over with Zelina Vega.
Andrade versus Cedric Alexander. That would be good. Finn? No, Finn's over on SmackDown now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joe, but he'll get murdered. Well, see, that's the thing. With the 205 guys, are they going to challenge for heavyweight titles? Do they need to?
Shit, like, Mustafa beat Brian more than once.
Yeah, I guess so. So you're just going to use them like any other guy that you've used before, like
there's
Brian.
No division. They're not divisions on weighted divisions on Raw and SmackDown. So they're there.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. I mean, I'm happy for whatever opportunities that he's going to get, but I don't know if he's going to get a whole lot of opportunities other than being a jobber. But I hope he's going to be more than just a jobber. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
How much longer do you think Rey Mysterio can last on the main roster?
Not that much longer, I don't think. But see, I thought that before he left the last time, you know, and then he had like this amazing run on Lucha Underground and in Mexico and on the Indies.
Some New Japan stuff.
You know, yeah, New Japan. He had a great run. So I was already ready to count him out. Now he's back. He's got another knee.
I'm worried.
I don't know.
I'm worried that with Andrade and Rey on Raw, that they're going to give us 4 more months of those two after we already got 3 months of those two on SmackDown. I think. Usos accepted the challenge, so Usos are on Raw. They beat the glorious ones.
I am very happy about this.
Are you?
Yes. I wanted the Usos and the Bar and the New Day away from each other. So you got the Usos over on Raw. The Bar's still over on SmackDown. The New Day, well, one of them's injured, and I'm not happy about that. But one of them's injured, so they're not going to be doing tag team stuff because the other one has the big belt. So, cool. We're going to keep these three teams away from each other. Good fucking job.
And
about time. Huh?
And we're getting rid of the Shield. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm very happy about seeing the Usos on Raw.
Travis and I watched Raw together, and he noticed
something. The hell you say.
I know. Of course, since he's being white, he's obviously right, but he noticed that the Usos were a little bit too – it was a little less Uso penitentiary, a little more face paint as far as their attitude, their charisma, them being a little too
– bouncy, bubbly. Baby facey? Yeah, you thought
so? Did
you
notice that?
No, I did not notice that.
You did not notice
that? I did not notice that. Okay. I noticed that they were wearing their white gear, but...
Yeah. Okay.
I was too busy coming up with a scenario of, oh, God, I'm glad that they finally broke them and the Bar up.
The part where I mentioned earlier in the show where the debuts kind of felt expected... Is the follow-up to this. I'm going to skip a couple of segments because the Usos are on Raw.
Okay.
One of them's married to somebody else.
Oh.
So it only makes sense logistic-wise to have Naomi on Raw.
Yeah.
Naomi and Bayley teamed up to beat the Iconics on Raw.
Right.
How ironic that Ricochet and Aleister Black are on Raw. Oh, hey, by the way, Aleister's Black is married to somebody. So let's bring over Zelina Vega. And Andrade.
Yeah.
So that it's easier for everybody.
Right.
So when I noticed one, I kind of was thinking, oh, okay. And then the thing with the Usos happened, I was like, oh, great. We're getting Naomi on Raw.
Yeah.
Which I'm not complaining, but it just.
Really? It sounds like you're complaining.
No, I just. I've been watching. I listened to that Superstar Shakeup episode of Bruce Pritchard.
Okay.
And. For about 95% of the roster, they didn't know what was going on until the day of the trade. Mm-hmm. But he did slip out that for logistic purposes, one over the other, you know, for it to be easier to ride with for big time people. Other than that, you're still traveling.
So I am
a little bit.
I'm okay with that, like because that's again, that's like looking behind the curtain, breaking the fourth wall, you know, that, Alistair and Zelina are going to be on the same show. And the Usos and Naomi are going to be on the same show. Why? Because, oh, they're married. Like, but we know that. But, like, kayfabe-wise, we don't know that. So they're still keeping up the illusion of it being random.
Well, not necessarily kayfabe-wise. You got Total Divas. You have fucking mixed match challenge.
But, I mean, that like kayfabe-wise, that's like, not I don't the see them reason ever... why they're there. You know what I'm saying? Like it's still... Like, they didn't address it like, oh, the reason why Naomi's here is because they're the Usos. Like, they didn't say that. So I'm okay with it. But
you can figure that out on your own.
But behind the scenes wise, I'm very happy with that because it just shows that they're being good to their folks. I mean, shit, man. If I was in the Usos' shoes, I'd want to have my fucking wife with me on the road. You know, if I were, Zelina Vega, I'd want to be with Aleister Black. You know, so it makes sense. So the fact that WWE's doing the good guy thing and letting the couple stay together. Good job, WWE, being the good guy there. That's how I feel about that.
What did you think about Sami Zayn's promo on the Moment of Bliss?
I love it. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Sami Zayn...
healing on his own people.
Yeah! And he's doing it to where I like it. And it makes sense. And he's an asshole, but he's right. And fuck you, because I like you, but I'm not supposed to like you, and you're telling me I'm not supposed to like you, but this is why I like you, you know? Like, yeah, I dig it. I dig the little mind fuck.
What do you do with Sammy?
I have no clue. No clue, but I'm interested.
Okay. Braun ate him up.
Yeah, he did.
EC3, I mean, you mentioned earlier that you don't want Alexander to be a jobber.
Right.
I got a feeling that's what they're going to do with EC3.
Okay.
They never really... I hate to have this conversation because it's a waste of time for me to say that they didn't do much of an effort to explain what an EC3 was on NXT. You start from scratch, you have a new audience to win over.
He's going
to
be the Carter Experience.
Oh, my God. That's going to be the running theme tonight.
Yeah.
And now with the new audience not knowing what any of this is, and just he's just going to get his ass. I just feel like they're not going to do anything with him.
Yeah.
I get that. I don't know. I could be.
See, what, if you really wanted to stick the Viking word in there, it could have just been Viking Raiders. Why experience? The dumb part is the experience part. I'm sorry. I'm backtracking here. My bad.
Keep going. I'm getting some more water.
Give me another water, too. Thank you. Yeah, the dumb part's not the Viking part. The Viking part makes sense because that's what they're all about. They're about Viking lore and this and that. And like, makes fucking sense. Experience? The Viking experience. Like, that makes sense. Like, I don't know, man. They could have been the Viking Raiders. Again, why even change the name, though? You don't need to because they're already established because you put so much time and effort into them in your own company, in NXT. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's like, I don't know, man. I'm not upset about it, but I am upset about it when I think about it.
If you're upset about it, then what feeling would you label the separation of sanity?
Disappointment.
Exactly.
Sad. Sadness. I am morose.
Sadnity. There's so many things I feel like could have done with them.
Oh, yeah.
And I think from the very beginning, they had no idea what to do with them.
Nope.
None.
Bupkis.
And they never really followed through with anything. Mm-mm. Name me a memorable moment involving Sanity on the main roster.
On the main roster? Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you. In NXT? Oh, fucking War Games. Mm-hmm. Alexander Wolfgang stapled through the fucking, you know, gate or chain link fence, whatever.
Like, the takeover match in San Antonio between Ty Dillinger and Eric Young.
Yeah.
Fucking bananas, man.
Yeah.
Then Sanity getting jumped at fucking Takeover Brooklyn from Undisputed.
Yeah.
Well, Red Dragon before they put everything together. But yeah, on the main roster, they didn't even get a chance. And I don't even know what they're doing with Killian. So EY is on Raw.
Right.
Fast forward a little bit. Alexander Wolf debuted at NXT UK tapings.
Right.
That's going to be a gem for y'all to watch it. Y'all should be watching it. And I don't know what they're doing with Killian. And, of course, Crazy White Chick is Crazy White Chick.
Right. So they're split. Yeah.
Where exactly is she? Is she on SmackDown?
I think she's SmackDown. She's been SmackDown, and I don't think she got shook anywhere.
Okay.
So I think she just stayed on SmackDown.
Too soon, too long, or just right that Lacey Evans is challenging Becky Lynch.
I want to say just right. Because initially, I think it's too soon for one thing and too late for another. So if you average it out, it's just right. It's too soon for her to challenge Becky for the two belts. But it's too late for her to, like, not do anything. So, like, she's been coming out. And then, like, that's it. For too goddamn long. I'm glad you're finally doing something. She's doing something. Finally, yes.
I'm glad. I'm going to say just right for another reason.
Okay.
Regardless of what the main roster is telling me, I, as a human being with brain cells.
Now, why isn't she the Lacey experience?
I know what a Lacey Evans is. She never really got a crack at anything at NXT.
No.
So this is like, all this is foreign to her, which is foreign to me.
Yeah.
So this isn't like me watching Kairi Sane in a title match after she had like 8 of them already at another like company. This is new. So I'm able to watch,
you know what?
Watch it with a fresh experience. Oh shit, we're gonna wear that out. Man, we had a drinking game every time we say experience.
You know what this kind of reminds me of with Lacey?
Man, fuck it. We're gonna have that drinking game.
It kind of reminds me of Elias.
Yes.
Elias was a little underbaked in NXT.
Yeah.
Lacey Evans, a little underbaked in NXT. Shows up on the main roster. Elias is just walking around. The fuck is Elias doing? Yeah, okay, he's just walking. And he wasn't even doing that. He was literally, remember? He was just walking, and that's it. And, like, eventually he did a thing. You know, Lacey just walks out, went away, that's it. Like, I wonder if she's going to wind up being something because she's following that.
Oh, same. You mean Charlotte too?
Yeah. Military Charlotte. Yeah. No, I wonder if she's going to wind up being something because maybe that's what Vince is looking for out of NXT. Things that are half-baked, half-developed, so that when he gets them out of NXT's oven and puts them in WWE main roster's oven, he could take credit for it.
Not only that, like we just buried the Viking experience twice, and this is about to be the third time.
Okay.
Because we already have set expectations of them. They have title belts. Lacey really hasn't proven herself. She hasn't had a run.
Right.
So
neither did Elias.
Yeah. So we can still, and even Elias had a change or two in NXT before he ended up coming to the main roster. Because he wasn't the Drifter always. It was Elias Sampson.
Yeah.
Which, if you ask me what Elias Sampson was, I'll just stick my finger in my ear. So you have it's not a clean palette, but it's a palette that you're somewhat, you're using colors that you like.
Okay.
All right. But you don't know what's going to end up on the canvas until you give it some time. So for just in hindsight, seeing Lacey not have a match other than what? The Royal Rumble and the Battle Royal for the women. She hasn't really done much on the main roster.
Right.
So for her to have this match, it's easy for people to say, oh man, what has she done to deserve it? But on the other side is like, how many more title matches you want to see Becky against Alexa? Or how many more times do you want to see Becky against Sasha? Or how many more times do you want to see Becky against fucking Charlotte?
Yeah.
Maybe this is actually this. See, if Becky wins, say on a fluke, and the heel has an opportunity for a rematch, the heel actually wins the belt. Becky wants her comeuppance. Two or three month feud of this is a whole lot fresher than a retread of something between the four horsewomen.
Right.
So I'm that's making it easier for me to go in there with an open eye.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm on the same page with you on this.
How about AJ?
AJ to Raw. Kind of like how I feel about the Viking experience. I'm happy for Roe. I'm happy for Hansen. I'm happy for AJ. Roe and Hansen, fuck, they made it to main roster. They're on fucking WWE. They're on Raw, the flagship show. AJ, I feel the same way, man. AJ went, you know, from TNA to Japan to SmackDown. And no, now
from TNA to New Japan to Raw. Losing to Roman three times in a row. That's
right. He did start out on Raw.
Then having his badass feud with Cena. Then once he got drafted to SmackDown, he had his feud with Shane McMahon. Then he beat Dean Ambrose for the belt. And then he started laying down the foundation on the house that AJ Styles built.
And you know what? That foundation that AJ Styles built on Raw. You're right. He was
You're
on
welcome,
Raw.
Sir.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I am a scholar.
Maybe you
not
are.
So much a fucking gentleman.
Yes, you're an asshole.
There you go.
You are what you eat.
Yep.
Yeah.
At least there's not corn in it.
Well, you are corny.
I knew that about a fart, too. Oh, this shit's going off on the rails. Let's bring it back. What the right. fuck's a Viking experience? AJ.
Okay, AJ on Raw. Man, so that totally fucks my perception of him. My perception was, oh, he's on Raw finally. Great. This is good for him. You know, he was all over the place. Now he's at the pinnacle of, you know, where you could be, yeah. You know. But apparently he was already there. So, is he going to have a good time? He might. I mean, I would like to see him versus Rollins. That'd be pretty cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, him versus Rollins, Universal title. Him finally win that Universal title that he couldn't get off of Brock. Yeah.
My Facebook feed this morning had a possible list of candidates of four people of who you would like AJ to see wrestle against now that AJ's on Raw.
Okay.
Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
And Ricochet.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, Ricochet.
That was just what their options were.
Oh, Ricochet.
How about AJ? We'll bring this back full circle for the Raw talk. How about AJ versus Cedric Alexander?
Ooh, yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be real nice.
Because Ricochet, it's a lot, not as a complaint, because obviously we're still big fans. He's more of a Cirque du Soleil. Cedric Alexander, especially with his feud with Murphy, after that, he's been a little bit more grounded. So I think he and AJ kind of have the similar balance of when to do grounded pound and submissions and when to like fly around.
Yeah.
I think AJ versus Cedric would be a hell of a matchup.
Cool. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be real good. Have we ever seen AJ versus Rollins though? Has that happened?
Maybe.
Help us out here, guys.
Maybe. It sounds familiar. I want
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Overall.
If it has happened, I'll still want to see it again.
Yeah. Well, obviously, because you forgot. Overall, are there any disappointments as far as picks from SmackDown to Raw or from NXT to Raw?
There is one in there, but I'm not sure if you talked about it or if you have notes on it or if I'm just tripping.
Let me run down the list.
Okay.
The draft picks that Raw got: AJ Styles, The Miz, Ricochet, Aleister Black, Eric and Ivar of the fucking Viking experience. Andrade, Cien Almas, Zelina Vega, Rey Mysterio, Jimmy and Jay, The Usos, Naomi, EC3, Lacey Evans, Eric Young, and Cedric Alexander. Those are the picks from NXT and SmackDown to Raw. Okay. Are there any duds in there? I already said EC3 has a potential to be a dud because I don't know how they're going to incorporate
Cedric
him.
Has the chance of being a dud. Not because I want him to be a dud, but because I'm afraid he'll get lost in the shuffle and Vince won't know what to do with the little 205 guy, you know? He's little and he's black. Yeah, Vince doesn't like him. He doesn't stand a chance.
Hey, Kofi wants to talk to you.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, so that's it for Raw. SmackDown is going to be a little more concise.
Can I bring up the one that I thought was a thing?
Joe?
Maybe I'm wrong. Well, oh, yeah, that's another one. Joe. No. The Riot Squad. I thought the Riot Squad got broken up. One of them stuck on Raw. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
All right. So Joe, then.
So what I read online on the news, Joe was scheduled to be on Raw in a segment, but he had the flu.
Okay.
So he was there, but he was feeling like shit. So they cut out the segment. It makes sense if Finn's taking the IC title to SmackDown, that Joe would take the US title to Raw.
Okay.
If you got a pay-per-view in 5 weeks, I doubt that they would want to have 5 weeks worth of television where the two mid-card titles are on one show and the other show ain't got that. This Monday, Joe would return on Raw.
Okay.
Maybe Joe and Cedric. Maybe Joe and Andrade.
Yeah.
Maybe Joe and EC3.
Yeah.
You know, there's Monday Night TNA. I don't know.
Monday Night TNA.
SmackDown. Gee golly.
Gee willikers.
I forgot.
Oh, shit.
How much of a character Kevin Owens is.
Oh!
I'm loving me some Kevin Owens right now.
I love
the best part is me being the cynical guy,
The
wrestling fan that thinks that he could see everything a mile away. I was assuming Kevin Owens was turning on the Usos on the New Day that night.
Yeah, me too.
And now I'm good either way. if they save this for Money in the Bank or they save this for Kofi's losing the belt to KO or whatever, that's cool. If KO stays in the group, maybe Big E's a little upset that he's replaced and maybe we get Big E KO here or something. Or fuck it. If they just have a four-way and they all just fuck me, man. That's the whole New Day experience on SmackDown
experience,
was awesome.
It
was awesome.
God
damn. That was a fucking awesome show, man.
Yeah, that was really fun. I don't want
Holy shit, that was not a smart move.
I guess not. I don't know if I want to
put this over here.
Yeah, I can't get rid of that. I don't want you having a
chocolate and crown. Woo!
I don't want you having a crown royal experience all over.
Give me what I want, Scott.
I don't want to be as cynical to think that I'm just going to sit there and wait for the KO turn with this. And I've said it time and time and time again.
That thing looked like a bra on him. The opening segment.
The New Day is the one fucking faction that I want will transcend all fucking wrestling stereotypes and not break up. They're just going to stay the three best friends that anybody ever had forever and ever. Amen. Like, that's what I want. And am I just going to wait for KO to turn? The way I was just waiting for fucking Shane to turn on Miz, I guess, but I don't want that to happen. I kind of want it.
You've documented it, and you've won me over on that side where we don't need to have every team turn on each other.
Yeah.
There's a thing of saying, you know what? I hope you're happy.
Yes. I hope you're happy. Yeah, and then just like move on. Like is this a one night only thing and then that's it? And he was like honorary New Day member and now he's not anymore and it's okay. And like there doesn't have to be a turn. I don't know, man. Like
this Monday he comes out with an Uso shirt and like a chain and he's like listening to fucking Savage.
It's fucking with the way that I'm feeling about the New Day. And I kinda like it. But it's like, man, I don't want this, like, if Kevin turns on the New Day, okay, fine. If Big E and Owens have like a feud, okay, fine. But I don't want Kevin to be the Sonny Ono to break up the Beatles of the New Day.
You're that old.
Yeah. Once the New Day stays the New Day.
Yeah, you're that old.
After all this shit with KO is done, then I'm good.
That's awesome.
Or if KO just stays. Like, you forget Rick Rude was a part of DX, but he was a part of DX. You know? Like, hey, Kevin Owens was a part of the New Day. Oh, yeah. Like,
you remember Million Dollar Man was in the NWO for a while.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, okay, cool. You know, Kevin Owens was also a part of the Young Bucks. He's the fucking Sean Waltman of this generation. Yes. He was in the Young Bucks and in the New Day.
Was he the best wrestler out of all of them?
Yes.
Fast forward. Did you like the 6-man tag with Cesaro and not the Rusev.
I was thoroughly entertained, mostly because of the shenanigans with New Day and KO. Yeah. Nakamura and Rusev, whatever. But I was entertained because of all the shenanigans on the other side of the ring.
All right. I agree. I mean, regardless of how I feel of Nakamura being booked, getting a chance to see Nakamura wrestle is still fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Especially when it's against a Kevin Owens, a Kofi Kingston. Dude, there's a lot of possibility on SmackDown, even if, like I said, the one thing that's lacking in the tag team feuds on both brands is, instead of doing like 6-man or 8-man tags to build up a tag team rivalry, just give me one against one against Big E, or give me fucking Xavier against Cesaro. Build up that way to the tag match, instead of like overbooking with so many fucking people that you don't really need all of them at once. You can space all that shit out.
Yeah.
You know? How about Ali and Finn?
What about them? What did they do?
They wrestled.
They did?
Non-title.
They did?
Match the week candidate for me.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Oh, my God!
I remember Finn showed up, and he has his belt, and I was like, oh, yeah. Hey, what happened to Joe? The rest, I don't even, like, oh, yeah, fucking Finn won.
Yeah.
So, yay, Ali, not winning shit. Whoop-dee-doo. Like.
All right, then. LOL, Charlotte wins?
LOL, Charlotte wins. Hey, what's up, Hector? Welcome to the live chat.
Thumbs up or thumbs down that Lars didn't try to eat some Melly?
Yeah, I don't need him eating a bunch of stuff.
There is a segment.
I don't need him beating up on Carmella.
There is a segment on an episode of Raw. Mm-hmm. On November 2nd, 1998, which I know because I was at that event, it was here. Kane was murdering fools all night. Mm-hmm. It was a match between Goldust and William Regal. Kane came out, beat the shit out of both of them. Goldust had Terry Runnels. Okay. Terry goes in to check on Goldust. Kane looks at Terry, and he's like, you know what? I'm not done. Puts his arm around Terry, choker, lifts her up before security pulls him apart.
Yeah.
To just bring home the fact that Kane's not Kane's parents. Paul Bearer knew the whole time and didn't tell him. It would add an extra dimension to the Lars character that we don't know much about on the main roster. If he didn't have that split where he doesn't see men and women, he sees objects that are not destroyed. Victims. Objects that are and tries, and at least like he stared at Carmella like at the buffet line, but he didn't step up to eat. Like, at least make your way towards her like you want to do something. You know, maybe that could have been the catalyst for Truth, because Truth actually put up a decent fight after that match. I think he even had a comeback spot before Lars murdered him with the freak accident. But I just feel like there's a possibility there, especially if you're blurring the lines that women are the same as men and we're giving them equal treatment now on the main roster, and women are main eventing, and Nia Jax entered the men's rumble. Why not have Melly try to step up, or at least acknowledge that there could be a tension there and like act on it, you know?
Yeah. Just,
I don't know. But that's nitpicking. I mean, Lars is on SmackDown now officially. And I think the running theme, besides the joke, is that I'm curious to see what they're going to do with these shakeups. And Lars specifically, with Braun on Raw, Lars, I think, is the monster on SmackDown. I don't think there's anybody build-wise that can compare to him.
Yeah.
At least unless I'm missing something. So I'm curious who's going to be the first guy.
I don't know who's going to be the first guy, but I will say this. I don't want Lars to be indiscriminately beating fools up like Kane and being just this out of control and rage monster.
You want him to talk? You've heard that lisp?
Yes, I do. Because part of the thing that set him apart from being a little bit different from all the other monsters is his intelligence. He's smart.
Lisp aside, he knows how to speak.
Well, and the lisp thing kind of adds to it. The whole mad scientist freak accident. I'm like, you know, like he's raging and beating everybody up, but he's calculated about it. He's doing it for a reason. Yeah. He has a purpose, and beating up Mella was no purpose for him. So, like,
but that goes back to that slate is clean on the main roster.
Yeah,
it could be something completely different.
Yeah. Well, if they make Killian a monster too, well, Hector's saying about Killian.
Ooh, is Killian still on SmackDown?
If he is.
That'd Lars and cool. Dane as a team or against each other?
Against each other, maybe.
Ooh.
Hector also has another question. We're taking a step back here. What match was better, Finn versus Ali or Finn versus Tien? Andrade.
I think Finn versus Andrade was better only because Andrade won. I think both of the matches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both of the matches felt like matches that Finn was calling because it felt like Finn did mostly the same things on both matches. Ali played more towards Finn's flight game, mm-hmm. and Andrade, I think, was a little bit more grounded. So I think that, for me, that balances out. The one that stands out would probably be because Andrade actually beat him.
Okay, non-title. I agree.
So maybe he has something to claim. Hell, maybe he brings the Intercontinental title at the pay-per-view. Back to Raw.
Yeah.
If he challenges Finn because he beat him already for the belt. And then all the women came out.
And then all the women.
Becky. All Becky Two Belts came out. And then Ember returned.
Yeah.
Ember returned.
Ember's back.
And then Bayley came out. And then the Iconics came out. And then fucking Paige came out. Like, here's my team. And it's Asuka. It's like, Asuka in a tag team. Before I even say who the partner is, Asuka in a tag team. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up or thumbs down? Can we wait until after we say who the partner is?
Okay. Kairi Sane debuts from NXT and is the tag team partner with Asuka.
Okay.
Again, thumbs up or thumbs down that Asuka is in a tag team.
Thumbs up.
Wow.
Thumbs up. Somebody's got to win these goddamn belts off of the Iconics. Why not Asuka? Why not Asuka and Sane? That's a good team. I would have liked for it to be a trio along with Io Shirai. That way they could have just expounded on the whole.
On the Asian experience?
The Asian experience.
No, fuck.
The Agro experience? No, if they could have expounded on the butt pirates
were the
sky pirates. That's the what their name is. Yeah, the wontons. Because this isn't the sky pirates. It's not. You had an already ready-made tag team with the sky pirates. So if you made it Asuka and the sky pirates, it would have been like, oh, Asuka's a part of them altogether, and you could have wiggled that in. Now you can't do that. You have to say Asuka and Kairi, and they're going to be something else. And if they call them the Sky Pirates, I'm going to be a little pissed on behalf of Io. It's like, goddamn, like, you took away my tag team partner, and now you're saying that that's their partner in the team that we made? Like, what the fuck? But that sentiment wouldn't be there if it was all three of them together, you know? But all that being said, aside from the fucking Asian experience, Viking experience bullshit with the naming and all that, yes, I would like to see these two fucking light it up against all these other fucking tag team bitches and take this women's tag belt seriously. And who better than Asuka? And Kairi. Fuck, I love Kairi.
So you mean to tell me that in the past year and a half, the booking of Asuka has gone so terribly, losing the belt to Charlotte twice without a rematch. And there's no way to write yourself out of that to the point that you're going to stick Asuka with a partner.
At this point, I see it as a clean slate for Asuka. They fucked Asuka up so bad that there's no way that they could fucking fix it. So you know what? Put Asuka with another girl and have them win these tag titles. I'm okay with that if they allow them to focus and be fucking badasses with these tag belts. If you're not going to have her be one of the belts, because, Becky Two Belts has the two belts, right? If you're not going to – if that's fucking manipulated, those belts are manipulated there, then, hey, you're going to get gold on Asuka this way. And I buy it as them being a team, and I bet they're going to be good. And I would love, love, love to see the shit that they could do together as a tandem, because I know the shit that they could do together separately is amazing. So I think we're going to get good fucking matches out of them, and we may have good fucking tag team matches, and that those women's tag belts may actually have a chance. They may have a chance.
I was going to agree with your first half of the assessment until the second half went way too long. Sorry. But I will agree with the first half that I do believe that on the main roster, Asuka's reputation has been fucked.
Fucked.
That it cannot be repaired. So, if you, on the next day, on the next day, Shayna Baszler defends her belt against Kairi Sane, and if Kairi Sane loses, she will never, ever get a shot at the NXT title again, which Kairi lost.
Right.
Here is what I would have proposed.
Okay.
Try to put some shine back on Asuka and send her back to NXT.
Oh, son of a...
To fight for the title she never lost.
Uh-huh.
Against a woman that's been eaten through women.
Ooh.
Damn near had a buffet at TakeOver and ate three of them at once. And left a tip.
Ooh.
You telling me you don't want to see Shayna Baszler and Asuka main event a TakeOver for the women's strap?
That might be nice.
And you could have actually had your Sky Pirates. Both of them, EO and freaking Kairi, show up on SmackDown.
That'd been nice.
But we did.
But we did it. But I'm not going to get all hung up in the what they could have done. What they have, I'm okay with what they have. I'm okay with what the reality is. The reality is these two, and I'm going to be happy with these two. I'm sure these two are going to have phenomenal matches together.
We'll see.
As a team.
I'll try to give it a chance.
All right.
Because Kairi, she's cute.
And Asuka.
Yeah.
Kairi looks like the one you want to take home to mom. And Asuka's the one you keep in the closet.
Asuka's the one that keeps you in the closet.
Vince introduces Elias as the pick for SmackDown, the future of the brand,
right.
The guy that's going to lead us into Fox in October with the ratings.
Yes. Yeah.
What'd you think?
Oh, I knew that was bullshit. Like, I like me some Elias, but nah, he ain't. Yeah, this was all set up for Roman. It was set up for Roman. It was painfully obvious that it was going to be Roman. We didn't see Roman for all of Raw, all of SmackDown. It's like, yeah, it's about time that the big dog has to go for a walk and marks his territory. It's about time. He's got to lift his leg on something. And so when you took out Elias, I was like, yeah, this is a, your old bait and switch, red herring, you know. Yeah, yeah. I'm okay with Elias being on SmackDown. Why not?
I'm okay with Roman being on SmackDown. I've said it for months that the Roman needs a change of pace. He needs a change of scenery.
All right.
Unfortunately, I said that before the season changed. Because the scenery back then didn't involve Kofi Kingston being WWE champion. And now...
You're afraid you're going to lose your Kofi as champ, aren't you?
It's not that I'm afraid of losing Kofi as champ. You're main eventing house shows already with Elias versus Roman, not your WWE champion. You know, they had this experience. They had this little video on WWE's Facebook page where you can be a member of the Shield, and it's like that Seth Rollins is wearing the camera or whatever, and you get to experience the whole entrance. And the announcer, as he's introducing the Shield, it's Dean Ambrose, it's Dean Ambrose, Universal Champ Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. Really, you're going to still give this motherfucker top billing over your fucking champions? Mm. It's painfully obvious what Vince is trying to do. And the more gas he pours on the fire, the more he's reminding me. And especially if you didn't hear it, a lot of people heard it. I sure as fuck heard it. He was getting boos when he showed up on SmackDown. Already, that goodwill of, oh man, he left because of leukemia. And now he's back.
Don't put up those air quotes.
Hey, I'm just speaking for people that still have that assumption. Just to have this happen, and it's already that's the, and then they showed the oh my God, the thing that annoyed me, not in a bad way, because it's just dumb, because they did it with The Rock, they did it with Steve Austin, they did it with Cena, but fuck, this new trailer of Hobbs and Shaw, and they actually show Roman doing the ooh-ah when he's fighting somebody, come the fuck on, come on. Damn. So they're going to be promoting SmackDown in October with Roman Reigns, your new Hollywood star, selling the Fast and Furious movie on digital and Blu-ray because he's in it. Okay.
Yeah. Are you afraid that Kofi is going to get the CM Punk treatment?
I feel like he's getting it now.
Yeah. That he's the champ, but he's not the main event.
SmackDown. We opened with the New Day, and then we're ending with the six-man tag. But the end of the show was Roman.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
So what? We'll have to start marking the tally between now and the next time we record to see how many times the big dog is opening the show, how many times the big dog's ending the show, and how many times our black Jesus is opening across the show. You could go pick up rabbit shit today. Oh. Kofi Kingston. I don't know, man.
When is Kofi versus Roman happening?
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam?
SummerSlam.
Roman's winning?
Tier, Roman wins.
And is it going to be babyface versus babyface?
It would be salvaged if there is a heel turn at the end, but the Usos are on Raw, so who would you put Roman with?
AOP? Roman don't need to be with nobody. Roman be asshole on him, all in his lonesome.
Yeah, but he's better accessible as a unit. We appreciated Roman as a unit with the Shield. The Shield's no longer there. What, are you sticking with AOP?
No, fuck AOP.
Sticking with the Usos?
No, leave him alone. Yeah, I don't need the Roman stink all over everybody else.
The moves to SmackDown, to summarize, Roman Reigns, Elias, IC champion Finn Balor, Ember Moon, Bayley, Kairi Sane, Buddy Murphy is on SmackDown Live, Lars Sullivan. This afterwards, after they went off the air, they announced Liv Morgan is on SmackDown. Chad Gable's on SmackDown, so the Glorious team is not together. Apollo Crews is on SmackDown, and the MILF, Mickie James, is on SmackDown. Because apparently the rumor has it that Nikki's trying to introduce a MILF gimmick.
Yeah.
Sooner or later on the roster. So and not I'm going to just be watching TV like.
Not Monday Night MILF, like she was trying to do.
SmackDown MILF.
So where's the rest of the Wyatt squad? Are they on Raw? So Liv went over there, but Sarah,
because her husband
Ray, so
the old and now they're
she could be part of the Viking experience.
I was just about to say they're pushing a segment on the network where Ro and Logan were actually in attendance of a real life Viking reenactment, and they recorded that for the network.
Okay.
They're showing glimpses on the network of their, or on WWE.com or on the app, they're showing like video packages of their wedding. They had a real Viking wedding.
Yeah.
And like the Riot Squad were there and a couple of other wrestlers were there. So that's the only benefit of the doubt that I'll give the company, that they're trying to at least make something that they see enough in the whole Hanson and Rowe package that they're willing to invest by giving them such a dumb name, but still at least they got attention. They got enough attention that they changed their name. Yeah. They got enough attention that, oh yeah, this chick's also one of them. You know, they're getting enough attention that they're making these specials about them on the network. So that's the only benefit of the doubt among all the other junk that they've done with this guy.
How many times have Arnold and I said it? Ruby's the fucking truth. All right. So Ruby could be by herself. Okay. She doesn't need the rest of the Wyatt squad. You know, so if you have her by herself on Raw, okay, she's the truth. You put Logan with the rest of the Viking experience.
Have Logan carrying the tag titles.
Yeah, she was one of the fucking Vikings that were out there for a takeover when they did the entrance. She was one of them. And then you throw Liv on SmackDown, have Liv do her own thing, which it might be time for or might not. Like,
it's funny. We had the I'm gonna make the same comparison that you made earlier.
Okay.
We've Liv in the Riot Squad was always second fiddle, maybe even third fiddle, but goddamn, she's cute. She really didn't do much in NXT either, so it feels like even now on the main roster, she has had enough time to bake. So maybe her by herself on SmackDown. Let me bring
a little tongue gimmick.
Let me bring up this list again with Becky, with Ember, with Bayley, with the Iconics, with Asuka, with Kairi, with Absolution, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. Yeah. You stick Liv Morgan in there, she could work. It could work.
She could get lost.
Well, a lot of these are teams.
Yeah.
So she might be able to stand out.
She might, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing her take out Carmella.
Ooh.
Yeah.
5 feet of fury? 4 feet of 4 feet of fury?
Yeah. Blue tongue and all. I don't know. I mean, I think that we joke about it, but the blue tongue gimmick, you know, like that's something that made her a little bit unique.
Yeah, she likes to blow Smurfs.
She's got something there. I mean, I don't know if she's got it between the bells, but she's got something there. She's got a look. She's got a charisma about her.
Yeah.
A personality. I mean, they might be able to do something with her.
Yeah. That's it for the SmackDowns.
All right.
205.
Oh, talking about 205.
Match of the week candidate, Oney Lorcan. Defeated Cedric Alexander.
Yes, I agree.
The promo Lorcan cut before where he thinks he can be the next torchbearer of 205, and if he can't beat Cedric, he doesn't deserve to be on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And then beating Cedric, that brought the whole thing home.
Yeah.
I like and the look of shock that Lorcan's like, holy fuck, I wasn't expecting this.
Oh, shit, I did it.
Yay, I did it. And then they had their little moment in the ring, and only... that was Cedric's farewell. So he's gone from 205. Not that much changed. I didn't think they did much for 205. They didn't bring in anyone new.
Okay.
NXT. I said the rematch already for the women's belt. After WrestleMania, there was a video floating around on the internets of Velveteen Dream talking shit to Buddy Murphy. Because Buddy had just lost his belt.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so we got
Where's your belt? What happened to your belt?
We got Velveteen against Buddy Murphy on NXT opening the show, which is actually pretty fun. Velveteen can hang, man. He got another whooping by Buddy, but Velveteen he put together a string of moves and actually took out the win. It was a good match. I liked it a lot. I would say match that we counted it, but I don't want to throw that around.
Yeah.
NXT UK, the NXT UK episodes, they were taped during WrestleMania Access weekend, so the spoilers are already out there. It's nothing that – I don't think it's anything that continues the storyline of the television. That's actually going to be airing, I think, next week because they tape matches Thursday and Friday or Friday and Saturday. And I've read some of the spoilers. There's a lot going on.
Really?
So NXT UK, you want to look out for that.
Okay.
Heard it after NXT last Wednesday when we should have been recording, but we weren't. So I actually had time to. From Worlds Collide.
Oh.
Triple threat match.
Uh huh.
Gran Metalik.
Okay.
From 205.
Yeah.
From the Lucha Party. Ligero. The European luchador from NXT UK.
Okay.
And representing NXT US, Albert Hardy Jr.
ACH. Oh, shit.
Woo!
Oh, shit. A boy coming on up. Damn. Okay. So Keith Lee, Shane Taylor, Ray Rowe, ACH.
Shane Taylor's not in them.
No,
oh, but Ring of Honor.
Yeah. So all these guys have gotten a hell of a lot of exposure in the past year or so. All these guys came through NWA Houston, Lone Star, all throughout the Texas area.
ACH dipped into the ROW tub for a bit. Yeah, a couple of shows on ROW. So. Wrestle Circus too. Yeah, man, Texas making some noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just get Brennan to do something.
The reason.
So Brennan's got a new tag team partner.
He's got two of them, right?
Well, I thought it was just one. A little guy.
I don't know what race he is, but he's a little dude. Okay. So ACH is very animated here.
Right.
They build up that he's an anime and video game fan. With some help from the ropes, he busted out his flash kick. Guile's flash kick.
Okay.
And the announcers called it. The flash kick.
Oh, shit.
In tribute to Guile from a young Street Fighter.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're going full bore. And I think ACH put the whole thing together. Because for all the flippy dippies he does, the get over here before he does the slingshot into the DDT, which we didn't see yet. He was animated as fuck. His facial expressions, where he sees that Liguero's coming with that super kick, and he's like, boom, and he's like, he rolls his eyes, and like he might have been the heel. I don't know. He had Metalik in the corner. Goes, are you not entertained? Well, I don't care if you're not, cause I am. Get laying in on him, and when Liguero kicked out of something, ACH looked at the ref like, you gotta be kidding me, right? But his eyes were about like the guy from WrestleMania 30, like.
It was very fun.
I've been liking Liguero's work in UK, of course. Grand Metalik from the Cruiserweight Classic up to now, and Albert Hardy Jr. It was fucking fun, and I wasn't expecting it. There were some interesting matches. This was the 205 episode of Worlds Collide, so we had an interesting match between Tyler Bate and the Brian Kendrick. Mm-hmm. They showed a picture from 2007 or 2009 where Tyler Bate as a wrestling fan has a picture with Brian Kendrick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The next match was – the main event was Finn 2, Jordan Devlin, against Akira Tozawa.
Okay,
that was good. There was a tag match between Mandrews and Flash Gordon Webster against Mike Kanellis and Ari Daivari, maybe. Yeah, that was okay. I didn't see what the last Worlds Collide one was.
How many fucking episodes of Worlds Collide were
there? There's supposed to be four. They've aired two so far.
And this all happened during Mania weekend.
The next one, I think, is the women. So NXT UK, NXT, I think, a couple of women from our SmackDown. I don't remember. But they did four different ones. That's it for the week, other than the last bit of news from NXT that I didn't write down on my notes because I was overcome by it at the moment. So NXT has been using this tech now in the last tapings where audience members can hear commentary.
Okay. Yeah.
And apparently some of the commentary during Dominik Dijakovic's match or a match that was taped, they're thinking about using him as a white nationalist.
Yeah, I saw that.
He cut the promo on this episode after he knocked out this poor kid that he made it to NXT because his family afforded him the opportunity to come here. And everything that his family has been through to come here and all that. So which by itself is a nice foundation regardless of what kind of edge you're doing to
it. And that doesn't sound white nationalist. That sounds like pro-immigrant.
But they've taped a couple of episodes
that
night. So he might have had another match. And maybe that's where it came from.
Something else.
Or somebody leaked it backstage. But just right now, if you, for me, if you want to reattempt Muhammad Hassan, by all means, give it to me. Because even in the promos, Muhammad Hassan wasn't anti-American. He was anti-stereotype that was given to him. He was kind of on the American side also. It's like, what they do is not who I am. And I want to prove to these people that who I am is someone that you can admire. And then over time, it delved into freaking Daivari and blah, 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 and then he hates everybody. So if they want to try to go that route, either way, if you want to have him be like Ali in the beginning, they never told us that. Right. But we came up with the opinion that, oh, dude, I'm loving Ali because he's a guy that's not from here, that they're not just labeling him as a foreigner that we're supposed to hate.
Right.
Like, he's the outsider that we're supposed to cheer for.
Yeah.
Like Rocky.
Yeah.
You know? So if you want to do that with Daija, I'm down with that. If you want to life imitating art, and if you want to try to push it, at least on NXT where the groundswell's not that big, okay, I'm down for that too.
Okay.
Let's fuck with some of these people. I say that because even now.
But I mean, there's got to be a limit to that, though.
Even now, I think it was a drop ball that Jack Swagger and Yosemite Sam had to pull the curtain because Glenn Beck was bitching. I was curious to see how far they were actually going to take that shit. Mm. And the fact that they came under pressure, fuck pressure. You're providing a product. This is a story. Like, hey, we're not going to have black horror movies because the white people don't like it. We're still going to make black horror movies. We're still going to tell our story. If you don't like it, that means you cheer for the person he's against. You don't just stop telling the fucking story just because a couple of people are fucking hurt. Oh, everybody on the internet's picking on Becky because she talks shit about the injuries from Alexa and Ember. No shit. Owen Hart had a fucking shirt that he broke Austin's neck.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Stop being – the pussification of the country continues. And sometimes you just want to take your dick and put it in there. Give me Dijakovic as a white nationalist.
Okay.
Give me Dijakovic as the underdog foreigner that I should be rooting for. But feel free to tell the story and don't not tell the story because everyone around you is telling you not to do it. And that's just my take.
Okay. I wouldn't mind to see exactly where they're going with it. Like, how is this a thing? Because, like I said, the stuff that he had said would sound more pro-immigrant than it was white nationalist.
Or anti-American.
It was different.
Because white nationalists, they're pro-American. They're anti every other motherfucking skin color ever.
Yeah. So this is a little different. If it was like, my family came here from another country, and that's why I don't see the white nationalist part there other than the fact that, like, his skin tone is white, so where they came from is where they make white people. You know, like, I don't know where it is. What the fuck? He's saying, where'd he come from? Fucking Czechoslovakia? Like, what is it? I don't even know what it is.
I thought it was Boston.
I don't know. Where do they make Dijakovic's? Where do they make them? I don't know. Where is the Dijakovic's from?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ancestry.com. One of y'all do it. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Is that like Armenian? Wake up.
Kazakhstanian?
Got a little brush and put a little makeup. I don't know. Like what is it?
Why'd you leave your keys up on the table?
You wanted to. As of now, I'm kind of okay. Let's see where they're going. But then if he gets too, he starts wearing a fucking sheet with a white pointy hat, no.
Yeah. That's it for the television.
Okay. That's it?
That's the superstar shakeup in a nutshell.
All right. Are you shook?
I'm tussled. I wish it. I wish. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. All right, you send Alexander Wolf to UK.
Yeah.
Give me somebody from UK on the main roster. Like, legit.
Walter.
I'm not saying all that. If Vince McMahon is saying, I have a pick that's the biggest pick of all time, I'm going to bring in a guy that held a belt for 672 days without being defeated. And we roll out the red carpet. The same thing. Like, Elias comes out. He thinks he's the guy. Vince McMahon goes, I'm sorry. I don't know if you think it was you, but it's not you. It's a guy that's never lost – that hasn't lost the belt in 600-something days. And I shipped him over from across the pond to make an impact on this show and debut Pete fucking Dunne. Like, the, like we brought in guys from NXT. You brought in guys from 205. But you didn't send anybody from NXT UK. I think – I honestly think Pete Dunne's had enough of a run – even in the UK side, I think he's ready for the main show, dude.
Okay.
I think he was ready. As far as big changes, like the superstar shakeup now, it feels like the same thing with like the Raw after WrestleMania or like the Royal Rumble. You're not gonna get that badass surprise anymore. like the fucking free agent pick anymore. You're not gonna get the big surprises anymore.
Like, why not?
I just feel like that time's come and gone. If there's if everything's so there's so much hours of television and wrestling now with the WWE that it feels like you've seen almost everything already. At least to me.
Hector says, so they could do the same thing with him that they did with Asuka? No thanks.
Touche. Okay, I'll give him that. We did miss something, but we can talk on it real quick.
Okay, what did we miss?
We could do our ER segment of the week.
Oh, shit.
Because between Mania and Superstar Shakeup, let's see if we can count them all.
Okay, let's see. Ronda has a broken hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Daniel Bryan has an undisclosed injury.
Undisclosed.
He
hurt his beard.
Big E has a torn something in his knee.
Yeah. Nia has two knees.
Both her knees are fucked up.
Both her knees.
We saw Cesaro, but there's no Sheamus.
Yeah.
Sheamus is hurt.
Shamey's hurt. Don't know what's wrong with him. Ice Shamey.
Who else? Is that it? Five? Five's a lot.
That's a lot. Five's a lot for it not being Extreme Rules weekend. Just
or Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Or Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Five, dude.
I know we're forgetting somebody. Unless you want to say Sasha's ego.
What the fuck is up with Sasha?
I don't know. It's a work. It's a work. It's all a work. I don't know. I don't know what's up with her. She's all booty hurt about stuff. And apparently Bailey was booty hurt, but she's not. And I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Oh, they did a positive. If Sasha's staying on Raw and Bailey's on SmackDown, good.
Styles has a sore hip.
Joe was sick.
Joe had the flu. That's seven.
Yeah, but he's probably better by now.
Yeah.
You gonna miss Luke Harper?
No, I'm not. He was a good guy, good talent. I really would have liked to see him do more, but they weren't really using him very well. He was a lackey to Bray, and like that's it. And then the Bludgeon Brothers stuff was stupid, but. Well, they never gave him enough time for him to shine on his own. So I'm not going to miss anything that we never saw.
Yeah.
Now, can he shine somewhere else? Probably. New Japan, AEW, Mexico, whatever. He might be able to shine somewhere else, and I would look forward to that. But
from he's the new Matanza. Big lumbering.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah. I feel like they dropped the ball with Harper when he was in the title picture. That's Hector. Yeah, they dropped the ball with Harper.
So before we end the show for this week.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want to spill the beans on our superstar shakeup?
All right. So previous to WrestleMania season, Chris had expressed that he was getting burnt out on all the goddamn WWE programming. Right?
This isn't WWE Wrestling Radio.
Yeah.
Then again, we don't talk much about Houston shit anymore either.
Yeah,
that's true. So fuck me.
So, you know, we always wanted to try to, like, branch out and talk about other stuff. Me and you, we watch Lucha Underground. So we would sit here and talk about Lucha Underground. But with Arnold here, he doesn't watch it. So he just sit there, pick his nose, play on his phone, you know, jerk off. You know, so it was like when you were talking about Japan, I didn't know what was going on. Neither did Arnold. So it was like you were talking by yourself. So... There's so much more other stuff that's out there that when we first started Houston Wrestling Radio, it was like there was Raw, SmackDown was an afterthought. It was really like a Raw replay, and that's it.
Impact.
So, yeah, and then you had Impact. So everybody got to watch a little bit of everything.
Ring of Honor was kind of on TV for a bit.
Yeah, for a little bit. So we all got to talk about all the different promotions, and we all had time for all of us to watch them. But now that
you specifically, because you were off one day during the week.
Yeah.
Usually the week before the day that we record.
Right.
So you would just sit down
and watch everything.
Everything?
Everything.
Everything.
So I got a chance to catch up if I hadn't watched it earlier in the week. But now with WWE and the network where we're at now, there's so many hours of relevant WWE programming that if you want to watch New Japan, if you want to watch
Impact,
AEW, if you want to watch
Honor.
Yeah, if you want to watch all this other stuff. There ain't enough hours in the fucking week, especially
ROW.
If you're getting burnt out of actual WWE, which is where you're at, you're getting burnt out of WWE. I'm only watching WWE, so you want to branch out, do other stuff. So it's like, man, what do we do? Because like to keep this show going, the format that it is, we talked about everything that happened throughout the week, and that was easy back in 2012 when it was 2 hours of Impact, well, 2 hours of TNA, 2 hours of Raw. And, like, whatever else happened in between, and that's it. That was easy. But now, it's not easy.
Especially when, in the middle of April, we do not have a match of the year because everyone is stepping up.
That, and maybe we're a little bit more jaded than what we were before. Yeah. There are probably three or four matches out there that could be candidates that we
neither
just,
one of us haven't seen.
And we could, or we couldn't agree on. You know, like,
So, before we recorded today, earlier in the morning, we never finished our discussion last week of what our match of the week was for WrestleMania weekend.
And I still don't know what Arnold's pick is.
But you're picking...
My pick is Gargano versus Cole.
My pick, adding in a couple of other things and reasons, Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston. And Arnold's could still be the fucking tag match.
Yeah.
From TakeOver.
Yeah,
so again, so there's a lot out there. And there's not a lot of time in the day, especially with your new job and what's happening on your end, and then me always hustling, always finding something to do. And if I'm not working, I'm fucking out of town.
Yeah.
At a concert.
And then
Arnold
has his
show,
baby. You know?
Yeah.
He's got
and he tells us like in an hour, hey, I'm not gonna make it.
So we're gonna do a few changes. And we kind of teased it here and there, but we didn't want to do anything
until
Mania's over. And that would have been last week's episode where we would have been like, okay, this is the end of Mania, but then it's like Superstar Shakeup. Oh, fuck. Okay. So here's what we're going to be doing now from here on. No more weekly episode. No more every Wednesday we're going to sit here and talk about everything that happened, because we can't talk about everything that happened, at least not as a group, because there's not enough eyeballs for all of us to watch everything that's going on in WWE, NXT, AEW, MLW, all the fucking different shit, Japan, whatever. We just can't do it. So no more weekly show. What we are going to do is whenever something important happens, like the week before a pay-per-view, we may do a preview of WWE pay-per-view. Same with NXT. When the shit with AEW starts to really hit the fan, then you know what? We may do an episode previewing Double or Nothing. Same thing with G1 Climax is coming into town. Into Texas, to Dallas, which, you know, fuck Dallas. But, you know, so we may have to talk about that. ROW is actually going to host Impact.
The same day as G1, as the opening of G1.
Same day.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a kind of big fucking deal here in Houston. So we got to cover that. But try to do it all every week, all the hours worth of all the programming. We're not going to do it that way anymore.
So we're going to be centric on certain events that are happening. For example, sometime between now and Money in the Bank, Abel and Porsche.
Yeah.
Whenever. But it's coming. They're going to finish their Women of Wrestling talk because they did the debut a couple episodes. They're going to finish that up. We'll be back the week before the week of Money in the Bank to preview Money in the Bank, which would be if it's the Wednesday, we're doing it the May 15th. The next week on the 22nd is mostly preview for Double or Nothing, but we will also be covering the fallout for Money in the Bank. June, we'll be doing a preview of the Saudi show and the takeover that's going to happen in San Jose. There was also supposed to be a pay-per-view next the week after that for Backlash, but WWE is actually canceling that out because even they're starting to realize there's too many fucking programming, too much programming. So that's Wednesday, June the 5th. We might have another episode in between there, just the, something specific.
Well, yeah, the whole thing about other episodes. This is something else that Arnold and I had actually discussed a lot, where we have topical episodes, not necessarily episodes where we're covering what's going on, current events, like but
countdowns.
Like countdowns are just like, what was our favorite this or the best that, where we just talk about just a topic. And that's it. So we could do that anytime, anywhere in between.
With any mix.
Yeah, with any mix. It doesn't have to be me and you. It could be me and Arnold, you and Arnold, me and Porsche and Arnold or whatever.
You look at me.
Porsche. Not this guy. I mean, shit, we could get Hector on again a couple of times because we had I had a nice time chit-chatting with Hector for a couple of weeks.
That's not what you told me earlier.
Shut up.
July the 3rd, Wednesday, the day before 4th of July, we will be previewing the entire G1 Climax tournament and breaking down matches that are going to be happening that Saturday right nearby in Dallas, Texas.
Question in the live chat. If we're not going to be doing weekly episodes, what's going to happen with Match of the Week picks?
99% of our Match of the Weeks, or Match of the, more specifically, Match of the Years, would always happen on the big events. Rarely on Raw or SmackDown or on Impact Television or on ROH TV.
Right.
So, Match of the Weeks, That's the two guys that don't have any picks this year so far.
Yeah.
We're
really slacking this year.
But at the same time, I've done the same thing before where if there's a match that I felt was worthy of Match of the Year, I would go back and rewatch it.
Yes.
We normally would not have that time to rewatch it on a weekly schedule because there's so much stuff coming in that we can't go back. So we will have time. Right. Say if there's a match, if we're in our group and say, hey, man, is there something that stuck out? That way on our next episode that we're actually together – we start the show by highlighting a match that could possibly be or what keeps it from being Match of the Year candidacy, and we'll take it from there. So,
because we'll still have to have our big spectacular at the end of the year where we review everything.
Yeah.
And that includes
match and that's going to be a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's our tentative schedule for now. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that we're completely killing the weekly show. If it comes back, it comes back. But as of now, this is the plan. And like he said, there's many other options for shows, spin-off shows that we can do so that we can have something for you to keep you satiated till the next episode.
Yeah. Instead of having to stick to an actual, like, rigid schedule. Yeah, I always have to watch Raw on Monday, and I have to always watch SmackDown on Tuesday because we always have to do the show on Wednesday. So instead of stressing out my entire week like that and your entire week too, we're just going to kind of like keep it flowing. We have dates that are, you know, sitting right there where they're few and far between, but the stuff in between, fuck it. We can get together on a Saturday or a Sunday or whoever's off. If Friday night you want to get together and talk about something, okay, cool.
If there's a card worthy enough, I wouldn't. Like right now, for example, we just happened to be here on Sunday because you were feeling, everybody wasn't feeling well. And I didn't have any help. It's nice today. Like this is a really weird change of pace. Like we have natural lighting in here.
I know.
We don't have time restrictions. I don't have anything else to be right now that isn't pending that I have to like cut at a certain time. You know, Arnold as a parent, he'd have to leave at a certain time and has left before. Because he had other priorities and, you know, so.
He was, like, rushing us a couple of times.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I got to get home to my wife.
Yeah.
I told her I'd be home. It'll be a short episode. Every time you say it's going to be a short episode.
Or the computer freezes. Or the computer update. Yeah. So we could do a dark match for a New Japan show. Or you can talk dark match of the ROW show coming up. Or we can do all kinds of other stuff. But if anybody wants to blame anybody, you could do it right here to me. Because like you said before, this is not WWE Wrestling Radio. I don't have 9 hours in the week just to give to WWE when there's other things that I'm curious to learn. You know, yeah. For everybody that says, hey, man, you guys don't ever talk Japanese wrestling. You know how long it fucking took for me to actually start being consistent on watching Japanese wrestling? And even then, I still don't feel like I'm consistent enough about watching Japanese wrestling, let alone everybody else. So I might need to call on Hector to do a show on yeah. Japanese stuff just to switch up the flavor on the buffet, you know, so that everybody eats something.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how it's going to work.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, this isn't the death of Houston Wrestling Radio. Please don't think of it that way. We do still want to put out content. It's just not in the way that we've done now. You know, we've had format changes in the past. Ever since 2012, we've grown and changed a lot. And this is just another change. So, yeah, H-Server is not going anywhere. It's just changing.
Yeah. So that's it, man.
All right.
Until Abel decides to record his wild episode with Porsche when they have the time, when they can make the time. Yeah. Our next scheduled podcast will be May 15th. We'll be previewing Money in the Bank.
Money. Yeah, we may have to do something in between there because that seems like a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to have content. We're not going to just get on here and talk about what happened on SmackDown.
Well, I did suggest an episode of Turnbuckle Theater, but I sure as fuck am not watching Fighting With My Family.
Oh, I know what we can do it on. The fucking Vice.
Viceland!
Vice documentary. Yeah, wrestling. Yeah. What's it called? Fucking.
Wrestling With Shadows.
No, not Wrestling With Shadows. You know what I'm talking about. What's it called? Dark Side of the Ring. The Dark Side of the Ring series. I actually watched a couple of them already. Maybe when that's over, maybe in another couple of weeks, I think.
Okay, well, I'll make time to watch them.
Yeah.
And we can come back and do a Turnbuckle Theater of the whole fucking series.
Yes.
There we go.
Do that. I'm all right.
Ah, you see?
There you go. Brains,
you're right. You're caught in the brainstorm.
This is how we do it.
Yeah.
Just, there you go. Let's come up with something. There you go.
So,
all right.
We'll see you soon.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Only everything came to us that easy.
I know, right?